So we are just coming to the end of January. Have you realized that? Some of us are only finding our feet. And January is a great time. There's nothing magical about the calendar just changing, but it's a great time for a reset and for looking at where we're heading and who we are. Without vision, the scripture says, we perish. And the word perish means literally we decay, we die. That's serious. But it has this image of when you look at the language, it means death, destruction, but also to go round in circles. Without vision, we find ourselves going round in circles. And if we keep going round in circles, our horizon is really low and we get stuck. It's not a great place to be. A reset allows us, and this is your sermon series right now, I love it, for the sake of the city, to remind yourselves who God is, who you are individually, and who you are together. It's not good for man to be alone, said the Creator. And his purpose for you, St. Thomas Crooks, for the sake of the city. And it's a great one, and it's bigger than you think. And you're never too old to dream a new dream for God. That's for somebody in here this morning. And you're never too young to get started. So we're looking at this passage, which is all about the witness of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit reveals the Father, is a witness to the glory of God. And we are to be filled and led as the people of God by Holy Spirit to be witnesses in our homes and to the ends of the earth. I want to tell you a story from my life. This isn't a great one, but it's an important one. When I was a young adult living and working in Dublin, I still lived at my parents' home for a season. And one night, there was a terrible tragedy right against our garden wall. And somebody who had grown up in the neighborhood was murdered just outside that wall. And I'd been out for the night, and I came home with some student friends, and we sat talking in the car right outside the scene, totally unaware. And then I went into the kitchen, and my mum was still up ironing, and so we had a chat and a cup of tea, and then I went to bed. And the next morning, I got up, I opened the curtains, and there was actually those white tents and police officers and the terrible things you see when something very important has happened. Now, the definition of witness means this. You know something very important and special that needs to be shared. And so I found myself, over the days that followed, interviewed by police officers. They realized, you have alibis, don't worry, you've been with people, but we need to speak to you because you were so close to the scene. And I said, I don't know anything. I was just chatting in the car, I didn't know anything. Then I was chatting to my mum, then I went to sleep, I never saw anything. And I remember the police officer wrote down this, either asleep or distracted. Saw nothing, no good at all, asleep or distracted. And that can be just the same in our worlds and in the spiritual realm. We can be asleep and distracted and completely miss what's happening all around us. So let's wake up. Church, even as we engage with this passage this morning, a quick sweep of Holy Spirit through Scripture before the beginning of time and since the beginning of time. Genesis 1, we read the Spirit was hovering over the waters. The word hovering means waiting. Holy Spirit waits. Holy Spirit acts. Creator God brings form and structure where there's chaos and confusion. Beauty breathes life, the ruach, the breath of life into humans. Always the same. What's Holy Spirit doing? Breathing life. We see through the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came on particular people in particular places for a particular purpose, for anointing, for leadership, for prophecy. And this image of life and the water, two important images of Holy Spirit, are constant throughout Scripture. Breathes life, and there's this longing, this water that quenches thirst. And there's this build-up, and there's this waiting, this longing for Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're made for friendship with the person of Holy Spirit. We're always made for that. And so we hit then this beautiful time where John the Baptist says, I saw the Spirit remain on him, Jesus. And Jesus confirms this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, Luke 4, is on me because he's anointed me to preach the good news, to see the blind eyes open, to set the captives free. It's what the Spirit of God does. And then Jesus says, John 4, John 7, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. And streams of living water may flow out of you, he said to his disciples. At the end of his life, he gave them the commission, go, but wait. And we see it repeated in Acts 1, go to the ends of the world, but wait. Wait to be clothed with Holy Spirit's power. John 20, he says to his disciples, receive the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, breath of life. So you may be witnesses. It's the shalom, it's the peace, the purpose, the presence, the power of the person of Holy Spirit. And we are foolish if we discount this or rush ahead without this. That's who Holy Spirit is. I became a Christian at university. Just before we dig into this passage, there are three things I'd love you to journey with and learn with me this morning from this passage. But I've really been learning about Holy Spirit and friendship with Spirit since I became a Christian. I became a Christian at an academic debate in Trinity College in Dublin. The Philosophical Society took on the Christian Union to debate out, did Jesus Christ live, die, and rise from the dead? And I was given a ticket to see the Christians hammered by the other side. Come and watch. The Philosophical Society were known for their debating. They'll kill them, I was told. And the presence of Jesus descended in that room. I can now see what's happened now. And it brought conviction of truth. And I became a follower of Jesus on that night in that beautiful front square. I said, if that is you, then I went on a journey of seeing Holy Spirit move. We led a small church plant in Dublin at the center of an outpouring of the Spirit. And if I had been passionate about people getting to heaven, knowing the truth that they didn't have to die, I then became passionate about heaven on earth as your sermon series. I realized, there's a bigger picture. I've been focused on getting people into heaven. But actually, there's a Father in heaven. It's a person, not a place. And he longs to walk with us, talk with us. We're going back to Eden, and he wants to break into the now with power. And that was wide awake thinking. And I realized I've had too small a vision. The vision got bigger, heaven on earth. And now I've been walking a bit longer. And I'm more than twice the age when I first came here as a young adult. The vision has got bigger. It's a big vision. Revelation 21, verse 5, we read, this is what the Spirit of God does. He renews all things. He's always doing something new. He renews. He revives what's dead. He transforms. There's nobody beyond Jesus. He redeems. He's restoring where there's brokenness. It's stunning. It's a big vision. It changes the way you see everything, how you spend your money, how you see creation, how you love yourself and broken people. He redeems, he restores, he renews, he revives. It's a big vision. But I've actually discovered as well that living this big vision is small steps. And the vision's bigger, but the way to live it is probably small steps. And my husband and I say that faithfulness, we think, looks like a long walk in the same direction, keeping on going. And I've discovered in that, and I can say this truthfully to you, some of you will know in the room, I've had an incredibly hard year this year. I've been through all sorts of crises. You think you're on one plot line, and then all sorts of curveballs come. But you see, he is Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's Parakletos. He comes alongside us. He lifts us up. He's friendship. There's nothing you and I will go through that he will not walk with us. That is an incredible promise. Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. He is life to you. He is present in your present. And he is past and he is future. He holds us, and it's stunning. It's really, really special. So let's go to this passage. What can we learn today from this passage? Well, I think there are three aspects to the power of Holy Spirit that I would love you to consider. I had to take a journey with this. When I first saw Holy Spirit moving, I thought, whoa, this is... Well, actually, I was frightened. And I've learned that Holy Spirit is not tame, and he's wild. And he does extraordinary things, and he will not be boxed. And he's undone often my theology, my thinking, the ways I think God works. He's not tame. I've seen him do wilder things outside the church than in the church. Power collisions, and that's really exciting. I long for more of Holy Spirit, but that's friendship. Friendship with the Trinity. That's what we mean by more, not just a fuzzy feeling. St. Thomas Crooks, there is more for you. I would say that there is more for this church, this community. Extraordinary things have happened through the life of this church. And actually, this church, I didn't mean to say this morning, but this church has been at the center of Holy Spirit's presence in many generations. I met some people in America this year who'd been here in the years of John Wimber, back in the 80s. This building has housed the presence of God moving in generations. There is more for you together as a community. He longs to walk with you in friendship. The power is his love, and the love is his power. That's what it is, not a Star Wars power that will move us all and shock us all. Sometimes Holy Spirit does move very powerfully, but the power is his love. Make no mistake. There are three aspects to his love I'd love you to see outworked in this passage. The first is this. His love is spoken love, spoken power. We see it in verse 1. He raised his voice, addressed the crowd. Let me explain to you. And Peter goes on, listen to Jesus. Listen to the word of God. I believe Holy Spirit would say this timeless truth to us today. Listen to God's word. Camp out on it. Feed from it. Listen to the Bible. It's a time to listen, and it's a time to speak up. We now live in a culture that will intimidate you and suggest that we don't really understand things as the church, and it's very complex, and yes, we need to be wise. There is much to understand and navigate carefully, but we hold such good news. Such good news. Do you realize that? Such good news for a traumatized and broken world, you and I, by being filled with the Spirit. And so we need to speak up. We need to make truth known. And sometimes we need the courage of the Spirit when we're faced with intimidation. We can speak honestly. You know, sometimes our lives don't look different to those around us. And we will have the same anxieties and pressures and the mortgage and the kids and the driving around and the walking the dog and as everybody else and the homework and the student assignment and all the rest. So much to do. So much to get worried about. Just like everyone else. But we have a horizon. We have a Lord. We have a different home. We're citizens of a different reality. So we live differently. And we can be honest in all those things. To be a witness for Jesus, N.T. Wright says this, it is not simply to tell a story or tell the story of what God has done for you. There's a real place for that. Testimony, we love it. It is this, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. The early church, the early believers, they saw the movement that you and I are still caught up in, the movement of the church worldwide, because they were witnesses, and we see this really clearly in verse 36, let everyone, every Jew, know for certain that Jesus is Lord. That's very important. There is a king to the kingdom. Everyone wants a king like Jesus. They just mightn't realize it. The kingdom of God is so attractive, but there is a Lord to our lives. And we will advance in the things of the Spirit as we make Jesus Lord. It's called surrender. And as we proclaim the truth of the life, death, and resurrection and lordship of Jesus. Secondly, it's supernatural love. Supernatural. So we see very clearly in this passage, dreams, prophecies, hearing the Spirit of God, His agenda, not ours, and the outworking, signs, wonders, miracles. It hasn't changed. It really hasn't changed. Let our bar not be what we've seen already or what worked out or didn't work out. It's how Holy Spirit moves. I want to be part of it. And He has assignments for you and for me. I've been really struck by a friend of mine, Emily. She was very supportive to my husband and I in this last season. Some of you in the room will know that my husband had a medical crisis in November. It was very serious. And he was in the Northern General amongst those who are most sick in the city. And Emily said to my husband, I am going to pray for you to be well and to recover every morning. And she did faithfully and texted him every morning. And it was really life-giving to him. She said, I will get up. I will walk. She lives by the sea. I will walk the neighbor's dog because the neighbor is frail and can't walk their dog. So I will do this act of service. I will pray for you, and I will also pray for my friend who has been captured and is in prison in a war-torn country, and she is very unlikely to be released, and she is in big trouble. So every morning, Emily got up. She was in text conversation. She would be praying for Nick and his medical details and praying for this other situation. When my husband was discharged and thank God, is on a really good road to recovery. Emily said, maybe I can be released. I'll pray. I'll continue to pray, but in a different way. I will still be praying for my friend who is still in prison. I thought, I wonder how long that will go on. And last week, she contacted us to say, I thought you might be interested to know, in very unusual circumstances, my friend has been released. And you mustn't talk about the details of it for the security of this person, but you are to know it is very unusual that this has happened. Power, supernatural power, carried by God's people on assignments, for nothing is impossible with God. It is the life of the Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles. Let's not be asleep and distracted and miss what God has for us. The third area I'd love to draw you to, by the way, that one is going to be really challenged right now in the nation, the supernatural acts of power and love. I happen to agree with Jürgen Milkmann. He said this a theologian. He said, when Jesus exposes demons and heals the sick, he's driving out of creation the powers of destruction and healing and restoring created beings that are hurt and sick. It's natural, not supernatural. It restores creation to health. They are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They are the only natural thing in a world that is broken, demonized, and wounded. We need to handle it carefully, but the commands of Jesus are still the same. Heal the sick, raise the dead, drive out demons. Carry the good news. He is supernatural. Following him will lead us to supernatural situations, which require faith. And I believe the early church lived like this. They lived like Jesus really is Lord, by a different set of values. They lived absolutely normal lives. So history would tell us that Holy Spirit moves not usually. There are those particular times in history where we have Peter's anointed to preach in this way, but most of the time it's through communities of ordinary believers leading ordinary lives, but with an extraordinary God, making a huge impact in their world around them. That's how Holy Spirit moves. So exciting. Adventures with Jesus. Lastly, this is the love and the power of the love. Now, this one is sobering. It's a sacrificial love. Look at what comes after this passage. If you read on verse 23, this man was handed to you and nailed to a cross. That was the way. We did a series on Acts at the well on Ecclesall Road last year, and halfway through, we thought, ooh, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Page after page of supernatural power, extraordinary happenings, and what happens straight after? Go read the book of Acts. Power, opposition, persecution, difficulty. It just was like that. And we had to actually settle that in our hearts. My husband and I were like, have you ever noticed this as clearly as this? We're supposed to know this really well, but Holy Spirit is highlighting this to us. And we've heard that prophetically, an increase of power, an increase of opposition. But Jesus didn't promise us it would be easy. And where would we be without Jesus? Alpha and Omega. Close by, friendship like no other. You see, we have a Pentecost. We have this passage in Acts 2 because we have a broken Peter. We have a Peter who watched Jesus and saw incredible mercy, a new mercy. Saw the compassion of Jesus. And then when he was most weak and frail and failed, met mercy on the beach, face to face. Forgiveness is when his love is poured in to your failure and your shame. And he loves you. And he offers you a different way. Come. He's very good at the restoring, the healing, the reviving and renewing. It's what the Spirit does. And if you follow Jesus for any length of time, you'll realize he does lead us to places we'd rather not go and people we'd rather not be with, and the least and the lost. He calls us to serve. He calls us to sacrifice. It's where he is. And that's why it's a long walk in the same direction. Peter blew it. But Holy Spirit had a different plan. And it's beautiful. And we do it together. And so we wait. We go. But we go with him, in him, listening to him, dependent on him. The greatest assurance, the keeping on, keeping going, And we see it in Peter's life. Just go even and look at the book of 1 Peter. I memorized, while I was in a hard time, I memorized that first chapter. How does it begin? Praise God for his salvation because of his mercy. That's what Peter knew. And then he's able to write, we endure these trials, and he's writing from prison. We enjoy these trials, momentary trials, because they're producing in us the gold. And then it's beautiful what he goes on to say. He says, though we don't see him, we trust him. And we love him because of the love shown to us. I want to invite the band to come back up, if that's okay. Can I invite you to stand? We are told, and we live in the age, that we would have access to Jesus and to Holy Spirit. And he will baptize us in his love with water and with fire. And often we think we've seen what the fire of God looks like. Sometimes it looks like the enduring fire of his love. Let's just wait for a moment. If there is anyone in the room today that would like to say yes to that keeping on, keeping going with that security of his friendship, he is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. That's what Holy Spirit does. I want to invite you, if you would like to, just simply, this space at the front could be a space for you to just kneel or stand. We'll wait for a moment. Just particularly, you're saying yes to friendship with Holy Spirit all the days of your life, his presence, whatever may come. For some in the room, it may be whatever has been, it's your opportunity to meet him on the beach. Mercy of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. You will never leave us nor forsake us. He is truth in uncertainty. He is truth. And his love is the power.